The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Forum for Nonprofits, presented in the public interest by the Beasley Broadcast Group. Each week we focus on a worthy organization and learn how you can lend support. And now, here are your hosts, veteran fundraiser and management consultant Ezra Creed and public relations consultant Ellen Shulman.
Hello, welcome to this week's edition of the Forum for Nonprofits. This is Ellen Shulman. We are going solo without Ezra this week, but we are very happy to welcome our guests from the Island City stage. I have with me today Andy Rogo, who's the artistic director, and Michael Leeds, who's the resident director. And I'm going to talk to Andy first. Andy, tell us what Island City Stage is and where you're located.
Island City Stage is a new theater company. We are LGBT-focused, although not exclusively. We are located right now at Empire Stage in Fort Lauderdale, which for those of you who may know the Fort Lauderdale area, we're on Flagler Drive just east of the Home Depot on Sunrise.
Okay, and for the listeners who don't know what LGBT is, explain what that is and... Like you said, you're not exclusive. So are all your shows LGBT? Can everybody come and watch them?
Explain. Everybody can come and watch them. LGBT stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered. Many of the plays we do have characters or themes that are focused on the LGBT community. But we are not always going to be producing that kind of work. Sometimes we'll just do a play that we really like that certainly will appeal to everybody. Most of the plays that we do are going to appeal to a broad audience regardless. But there are some plays that we'll do that some may feel are risque or a little sexually explicit. They may not feel comfortable at. But for the most part, everything we do will be, have a broad appeal.
So, Michael, give us a picture of the theater. I haven't had the pleasure of being there yet. I plan to go. What is it? Is it a small theater? What are the plays funny? What kind of
the theater itself has really got a very interesting reputation because aside from seats, there are also couches. And they give free wine and beer. So people like to come. It's very casual. It's about 56 seats. And it's got quite a little bit of a following. A lot of people just drop by because they know whatever's going to be there is going to be fun and interesting and thought-provoking.
So that means you got to get your tickets fast. That's not very many seats.
No, it's true, and it's not by it's general seating. So people usually come and like to have the wine and like to hang out, and then they just go and get their seats.
So it sounds like a total experience.
Yes,
sounds
exactly.
Like a lot of fun. So, yeah. Are the plays mostly small? I mean, describe some of the productions are like.
For the most part, I would say it is, but it's amazing what can get done in that space. The sets turn out to be, like, there's a play there now, which is very interesting. It's sort of like circus-based, and it's amazing what they have been able to achieve there. We just did a play called, our inaugural play, actually, which was called The 20th Century Way, and we were able to create this look of an old theater. And within the theater. So it was really fun. The audience really, really enjoyed it.
So, Andy, tell us about how this theater came about. I mean, said
it's actually
new,
it's brand new, and it actually does have a rather interesting history. There was another theater company that was doing mostly LGBT kind of work. And I was asked to come in and sort of transition a takeover. The artistic director at the time was ready to sort of transition out, and they wanted to bring in somebody new. So I'd sort of gotten involved there, and there had been some new board members brought on there. And we realized that as we started to work with this company that there were just a lot of problems and there was a lot of baggage. And the board member said, you know what, we need to close this and start over.
With a
fresh, clean slate, with new people. And so it really was, unlike a lot of the theater companies that have started in this area, which are founded by artists, either actors, directors, or a combination, maybe playwrights, this was really founded by community members who said, we want to have this in our community. we are willing to do what we have to make that happen. And, you know, although I'm one of the founders, it was really not founded by artists. It was founded by community members.
So tell us about your background. You're not an artist by trade.
I am an artist by trade. I have a master's degree in theater and had originally moved here 14 years ago to become the artistic director of the old Hollywood Playhouse, for those listeners who remember the Hollywood Playhouse. And I did that for several years and then decided I needed a little break and just became a freelance director, and then I went into the mortgage business.
With perfect timing, right?
Yes, exactly. my background is theater. That's why they had asked me to come and take over this old company. But I wasn't, you know, I've gotten too old to be where I'm like, oh, let's find a barn and put on a show. I'm beyond that age. So I don't think I would have done it on my own. I wouldn't have just said, oh, I have to start a theater company. If there hadn't been these other people saying, we're willing to really help and do the work necessary.
Well, and that makes so much more sense when the community came together and said, we want this in our town and we're going to support you.
Right.
And that makes it really, really, really great.
Right.
So, Michael, tell us a little bit more about some of the plays, if somebody can expect to see, and where do they go to find out information on what's coming up?
Well, we're advertising. We're the plays that we're going to do. There's a play coming up, or that's Have I Got a Girl for You, for example, and that's based on a true story of an actor who was out of work down here and ended up being a receptionist in a female escort service, and he did this for a while, and it's quite fascinating what goes on.
Sounds like
there.
It might be funny.
It is very funny, and the way he's created it is a lot of fun. So he's in New York now, and he's coming down, and we're going to do that. And then we have a play, Body Awareness, which is
a lesbian couple who live in a college town in Vermont, and this photographer who's an artist has come in to do a lecture part of a whole week, and it's basically about, and he does nudes, he photographs nude women, and one of the lesbian couples is very uncomfortable with that whole idea. She thinks it's exploitive. The other actually wants to pose nude because she wants to feel more comfortable in her body. So it's how those two women sort of deal with that situation. So, you know, we're going to be doing a variety of different kinds of plays that explore different themes like that. And obviously, like, again, I said, like, that have broad appeal. But most of what goes on in this space definitely has an edge to it.
Right.
The people who come to this space are looking for that. They're looking for something that's not normal. They're not looking for kitchen sink dramas.
Right.
They're looking for something that has...
And, Michael, do you bring actors, like you said, this person's coming from New York, but do you use local talent? Do you bring people in from all over the country?
For the most part, we do local talent. Andy and I are, you know, both from New York, and we both work there. I was working on Broadway for a while, and then it came down here about 8 years ago. So there's a large community, like us, of New York people who now live down here. And then there's a lot of homegrown talent. So we've been concentrating on, like Andy was saying, that what our theater wants to do is be representative of the community. So what goes along with that is wanting to use homegrown local actors who are excellent.
And you do open auditions? Anybody can audition?
We do open audition. No, we do open auditions. As a matter of fact, we were just having auditions for the latest play called Pigtail, which is... Andy, you talk about it. It's very fun.
It's a romantic comedy about a guy who actually turns into a pig, and the boyfriend that has to learn how to take care of him and love him as he takes care of this pig.
Usually
it's really
the dog
fun.
They turn into.
Yeah, right.
It's a pig.
Okay.
Pig is more challenging to care for.
So, yeah, that's very fun. But we, we want everybody to come and audition. And it's a problem we have had here in South Florida, because there are some decent theater programs in the universities here, for example, or New World School of the Arts in Miami, but the people who graduate from it don't stay here.
Right.
They go to New York, they go to L.A., and they've had a lot of success there. So it's difficult to keep people here, and unless we can offer more work to local artists, we are not going to be able to keep the really good talent here.
Well, and you're bringing up a great point to talk about for a minute in terms of the cultural strength of our community. And how have you found the reception from your peers, being the other theaters, the arts community? Are you getting the support that you need?
Our peers have actually been very supportive. Many of them came to our inaugural production. They give us resources. You know, we can go places and borrow costumes and borrow set pieces. You know, I've always found that the theater community has worked pretty well together. I used to be the president of the Theater League of South Florida, which is the service organization for all the theaters and theater artists in the area. So I think they've always been willing to work together, but finding the financial resources here has always been a challenge for all theater companies.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back, but before we do, if you want some more information about the Island City Stage, visit islandcitystage.org or call 954-600-7113, and we'll be right back to talk more about the Island City Stage.
Are you unable to pay your bills and over your head in debt? The truth is, you are not alone. I'm Susan Keating with the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and I'm here to tell you there is help available to you in these desperate times. Every year, millions of Americans find themselves with serious money problems. There's no shame getting into financial trouble. It is a shame, however, if you do not take steps to get out of trouble. The NFCC is a network of accredited nonprofit community-based agencies offering free and low-cost budgeting and money management services. There are many success stories of how NFCC trained and certified counselors have changed lives. Let us help you too.
Call 1-800-388-2227 to find an NFCC agency near you. That's 1-800-388-2227 or visit our website at www.nfcc.org.
Turn to the NFCC for a helping hand. You'll be glad you did.
What's wrong with your face? If you're over 30 and experience facial redness, it could be an early warning sign of rosacea. It's a common, embarrassing, and often life-disruptive facial disorder that usually gets worse without medical help. Rosacea often begins as flushing or redness on the face that comes and goes. Over time, the redness becomes ruddier and more persistent, and tiny blood vessels may appear. Without treatment, bumps and pimples often develop, and in some people, the eyes may become watery or bloodshot. In advanced cases, the symptoms grow increasingly severe, and the nose may become red and swollen from excess tissue. 16 million Americans have rosacea, yet only a small fraction are being treated. Why let these symptoms wreak havoc on your personal or professional life? Don't ignore the warning signs. Rosacea can easily be treated. See a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Welcome back to the Forum for Nonprofits. We're here today with representatives from the Island City Stage. And before we get started again, I wanted to remind everybody what their website is. It's Island, ISLAND, City, CITY, Stage.org. Or you may call 954-600-7113. You may also want to write this number down. This is the number for ordering tickets. It's 954-678-1496. And it's the box office that they say Empire Stage when they call, so you're not confused. So, Andy, when we left, we're talking about the arts community in South Florida and how tough it is to actually survive these days. And I know there's been a lot of theaters that have actually closed. So tell us what you're doing to thrive and survive in this community.
Well, one of the things we're doing to thrive and survive is to focus on a niche audience. That's, you know, partly why we're doing what we're doing. They were the audience that demanded that we sort of exist, and they're what we're focusing on. Because I think that's the way we get support. This last show we did, you know, sold out almost every performance. Now, of course, we only have 56 seats, but it was a great show of support, and we're going to try to keep building on that audience and focus on the residents who are within 10 miles or so of us, because studies are showing that people don't want to go much more than 15 miles from their house. And location is very important. You know, we always think, well, it's the arts and people want to go see this show or they want it, but so much of it has to do with convenience. I mean, they've shown that parking is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, if restaurants are close by, the venue itself makes a big difference. You know, whether people will keep going or not.
Well, and your environment sounds so enticing that you could go and hang out on the couch and have a glass of wine.
Right, and I think that's why they've been able to develop an audience. You know, from the time they were first built, and they were originally called the Soul Theater, that's what he was trying to do, is create this coffee house type atmosphere, have it be a fun place that people like to gather and then see these, you know, really kind of odd, edgy plays. And he was able to create an audience there.
It's very emblematic of the area, of the people.
Right.
You know,
it's a
Fort
very
Lauderdale.
Neighborhood environment,
yeah.
Very close, yeah. Neighborhoody. And I don't know, Michael, you're from New York, both from New York. Is this coffee shop type atmosphere a trend? Is that something you think we'll see more of?
I think it reminds me of La Mama in New York, and all the village theater where, for example, Torch Song Trilogy started with Harvey Fierstein. And it's these, mostly to me, it's the East and West Village, which, you know, now has had such gentrification. But yeah, I there is something about being able to go to an intimate space and be almost part, you know, you feel like you're part
right.
of the play. You're that close. And, you know, having the wine, which certainly helps.
Of course.
And the people, it's the, you know, of course, the other thing is the people who have to go to the bathroom kind of end up walking right through the middle of the stage.
That's a downside.
Which is really kind of, you know, it's sort of like that old thing of if a dog runs on stage, you see the actors who acknowledge the dog and the actors who don't. And then so somebody's walking and one will play to them and the other is kind of just waiting.
Oh,
and
that's
so
funny. Well, that kind of adds to the whole experience.
It does. It really does.
That's funny.
A lot of fun.
Is there food also?
There are snacks.
Snacks.
Yeah,
okay.
And people can bring them into the theater. I think that's definitely a trend everywhere now, that they want to have people feel comfortable in the auditorium, and that means being able to bring your drinks. And as long as the noises don't disturb people. Like, you know, I used to make announcements at the Playhouse all the time about, if you have hard candy, please make sure you unwrap it now, because you can hear that little crinkling all
right.
the time. So you
right.
don't want that. But yeah, we have to compete with movie theaters and with watching TV at home.
Right. Well, it sounds like you've created an environment that's just like home.
Yeah.
It really is. I can't wait to go. Sounds really,
it's
really
very
great.
It's very true that they're saying now theater wants to be event theater. It's very, everything is all-encompassing. It's not just about what you're seeing. It's where you're seeing it, how you're seeing it, who you're seeing it with.
That's really great. So, Andy, you mentioned earlier that you're expanding or you want to expand in the future, and we're going to talk about your fundraising needs in the next segment. But tell us about the future and where this theater is going to go.
Well, we're looking very seriously now at having our own space. We've been doing some research into a warehouse in Oakland Park that would be able to seat hopefully up to 150 people. We think that's kind of the ideal size mm-hmm. for ourselves, with a much larger stage. We love the intimacy of Empire, but it really does limit, too, the choices of plays we can do. And it's almost impossible to do a full musical there. We definitely want to add musicals to our programming. So we are looking to build out our own space so that we can have our own identity. And build our audience.
And when you only have 56 seats and it's a popular show, I mean, do you run 9 or 10 shows? I mean,
oh,
how
more.
Do you...
Oh,
you
more.
Really, okay,
5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Five
so there's plenty of time for people to get in. But
right. yeah.
that I can see where that would fill up really quick. And
yeah.
then if it's a great show, the word gets out. And I know I've worked
right.
with the LGBT community, and it's very tight and very large. it could get overwhelming, I can
right.
see,
right
away. Are there any other theaters like yours in South Florida?
Boy, not that I can think of, really.
No, there isn't.
So do you find that you draw from Palm Beach and Dade, or is it really true that it's only the people in the 15-mile radius?
I think we do. We definitely draw from Dade. I know that we have people coming up from Miami, and probably a few from Palm Beach. But the majority of our population is coming from Oakland Park, Wilton Manors, and East Fort Lauderdale. You know, everything east of 95.
Right.
And that's really the community I think we're going to best service. And there is no professional theater anywhere in that region. You know, for people to find really great professional theater, it means they have to either go way west of 95 to Plantation, or they have to go south to Coral Gables or to Miami or way north to West Palm. There's no professional theater company located right now in our region, which is another need we're filling.
And you mentioned earlier that it's tough to keep the talented young people here in South Florida. They go off to L.A. and New York. Do you have any partnerships with local schools or outreach to try to encourage people to stay
We haven't
here?
Created those kind of partnerships. I actually find that none of the theaters have created real partnerships with the universities. I think partly just because it's difficult when the kids are in school, they have to concentrate on school productions.
Right.
So they can't be doing the professional productions that the theaters are doing. And so it's hard to have that kind of partnership. And none of the universities here have their own professional companies on campus, as some universities do around the country. I'm actually surprised that that's never happened here, to be quite honest.
Well, hey, you have that opportunity to be another trailblazer, right?
Well, that's what I always think. I mean, there's some beautiful facilities. I mean, Lynn University just built this gorgeous facility. You know, but there's no theater company to fill it, and they don't have a huge theater department on their campus. You know, Jan McArt, who's running that facility,
right.
Who's a legend. She's still around. She's running that facility, and I think really trying to do things there. But it's almost, I always feel like it's such a waste. You know, you have this gorgeous, you know, 700 seat theater. I mean, state of the art, beautiful.
Well, it sounds like there's lots of opportunity in the future for collaboration and partnership, because we all have to work together to make sure we have a strong arts community. Okay, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about the Island City Stage. And just remember, if you want more information, go to islandcitystage.org or call 954-600-7113. Or if you want tickets, call 954-678-1496, and we'll be right back.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Forum for Nonprofits. We've been speaking with Andy Rogo and Michael Leeds of the Island City Stage. It's a wonderful small little theater in East Fort Lauderdale that has grand plans. Mm-hmm. And Michael, let's start with you. Tell us why this theater is special and why people should buy tickets to all the shows coming up, especially since there's only 56 seats for each show. So.
You'll laugh, you'll cry.
it's better than cats.
You enjoy
it's
wine.
Better than cats. Yes, right. Yeah. Enough said.
Yeah.
like Andy was saying before, there's nothing out there that's like this theater, and not only in terms of the intimacy of it being event-driven when you're there, but the content to it. It's edgy, it's quirky, it's fun. It's very different. It caters to, it's in the mission statement, it's not only about LGBT.
But progressive values.
But about progressive values. It has, you know, there's a political edge to it. And then there's just fun. Like, there's a play we want to do that I wrote, actually, called Who Killed Joan Crawford? And it's about, with five guys all in drag, and all is Joan Crawford, and they keep dying off. It's kind of
that
Agatha Christie meets,
yeah.
You know. And so, you know, that, and then on the other end, there's a play called Timekeepers that we're very interested in. And Timekeepers takes place during the Holocaust, and it's with a Jewish inmate and a gay inmate. And it's so it raises a lot of issues in a very theatrical, that's our main, to have it be a very theatrical experience.
Well, and obviously these productions aren't cheap, and you have to raise money. So tell us really fast, before the show wraps up, how can people help? Because I know it has to be more than just buying a ticket to the show. Right. You need
Well, people can help by making donations directly to the theater. You know, box office can really only account for about half of our expenses in any given time. But we're also going to be starting a capital campaign to do the build-out of a new theater. We think that we're going to have to raise about $100,000 to do that. And we're going to be doing that through a community foundation called Our Fund. And if people call the 600-7113 number, I'll give them more details about that. But we are going to need some major financing for that.
You can have naming opportunities.
Always. We will name the bathroom. We will name the sink.
We will change our name.
Yes.
Wow, you can't say anything more than that. All right, so they can tell us again the number they can call if they want to help anyway.
954-600-7113. And I will be answering the phone directly myself. So I'll be happy to tell anybody how they can help. They can also, you know, come and volunteer. Sometimes we need help with box office or concessions. Sometimes they need help with some marketing things. So there's always a way for people to get involved.
Okay, and then they also can call if they're interested in auditioning for one of your
Absolutely.
Great productions. Well, thank you to both Andy Rogo and Michael Leeds for the Island Stage Theater. It sounds like an amazing little venue. I think everybody should go see a show and write a check and support them so they can grow and thrive. So thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits, and until next week, have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Forum for Nonprofits. We hope this week's worthy organization inspired you to get involved and give back. The Forum is produced by Ezra Cree, Senior Consultant with Kreisenberg LLC, and Ellen Shulman, President of Ellen Shulman Public Relations. Find out more on forumfornonprofits.org. This program is a public affairs presentation of the Beasley Broadcast Group. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.